Hearing from God, how does that work? I have hesitated to write on this subject as I am so thick-headed and often my mind wanders all over the place when I pray. I do better when I pray with others, but when alone, I have to type my prayers so then focus becomes easier. I had read how important it is to ask the Lord to speak to us personally. Well, I can't do that. I'm too down to earth, and He has spoken already plenty in the Bible, which I still need to apply. However, one day I was feeling utterly useless and ready for the scrap heap. I had a pen in my hand and took the plunge to ask Jesus, "Am I worthless junk? Is that what you think of me too? How do you see me?" The flow of beautiful words and compliments that followed were unbelievably stunning, but not flattery. It was genuine encouragement. Yet it was also gently teaching me, but leaving me with a lot of hope that I could change for the better. Was this really Jesus speaking? No, it couldn't be. It had to be my own mind. If, however, this was really Jesus speaking, then it had a tremendous positive effect on me. If it was just my own mind, then it showed that I was a complete basket case, which I already knew. After a few seconds, back and forth, I made the decision that it was much better to believe that it was Jesus speaking than to think that I had gone off the deep end. I decided to accept it as Him speaking to help, teach, and guide me. Since I don't hear His voice audibly, I tell Him, "Lord, I serve You with my heart, my soul, and my mind. Right now, I submit my mind to You. I want to ask You what You think about this, as I'm not sure. Some of the things might at some time already have crossed my mind, but I forgot. However, when I stop and I sit down to write down my discussions with Him, then some of these things come back to mind. I ask Him to override my thought patterns, which in some cases is not very easy to do as I can be strongly opinionated. However, if I sincerely ask Him, then I have to believe that whatever comes to mind is His answer. I type it on my laptop and I simply take that as the Lord speaking. Sometimes He will say yes, other times He will tell me to handle the situation in a different manner or to stay away from it. I try to put it into practice, and when I do, things pretty much always work out. However, if I am not sure that I got it right, then I proceed as if I got it right, but I ask Him to please put a stop to it in case I didn't get it right, which He has done more than once, and for which I'm very thankful. I feel that if I don't try, then He will never know if I missed the boat. Sometimes the Lord tells me to wait, but while waiting, I try to stay busy or I ask Him for a time frame. Otherwise, I feel that the expression of "I am waiting on the Lord" can become a poor excuse to lazily go to sleep and do nothing. One time, I was discouraged about my prayer life. I wondered if my prayers were still heard and if anyone up there even was interested to listen to me. The answer came as a question and answer, lovingly teaching question. When you buy something, does the item that you plan to purchase have more value in your eyes than what you are planning to pay for it? Answer: yes, of course. Otherwise, I wouldn't buy it. Now, if you were a Jewish businessman who are some of the smartest entrepreneurs, then would you make sure you did not pay too high a price? Yes, of course. Well, I was Jewish and the oldest of a big family, and had to help my old man Joseph to make ends meet in our carpentry shop. I knew the value of things, yet I made no mistake when I bought you and paid dearly for our friendship, so don't ever think that I won't hear you. Oh, I felt like an ignoramus. When you stop to think about it, it means that Jesus values you and me more than the value that He put on Himself. He paid the highest price possible, His life. Imagine hanging naked on a cross for 6 hours, balancing your body weight on the nails pounded through your feet, gasping for breath. He was so possessed with love for you and me, which to my limited mind is utterly inconceivable. Someone was willing to pay that much for me and still values me more than his own life. Me, who cursed him like a blooming idiot. Me, of all people, he loved that much. It makes me so incredibly thankful for his unequaled love and incredible friendship. I just feel bad that he might have gotten a bad deal by paying way, way too much for me. Works and accomplishments can be one of our greatest enemies of sitting down to hear from the Lord. It is hard to sit down during the day when we are in the frame of mind to work and we cannot be bothered to stop. Then what is a good time? When we wake up before we enter the day, take some time off. Maybe set your alarm for this. If we don't take this time, then there is a very good chance that the day might unravel with stress. I start with thanking him for a bed to rest on, for sleep, for the victories of yesterday, how he's helping with this and that and the other. How he protected me on the road, how my body functions well for my age and that I can still go to the bathroom or whatever I am thankful for. I tell him what he means to me and I ask if he has any instructions for me for that day. I grew to respect and love him in an intimate way. And at times, instead of saying, Lord, I address him as my love. I have no secrets. I bare my heart, my feelings of anxiety, my selfishness, my weakness, my sins, or what I think are sins. However, he might see things quite differently, and what I presume to be sins, according to him, are part of life. Paul says, in all things give thanks. I am still learning how to thank him for my tests and my difficulties and to see them as an opportunity to grow. After telling him how thankful I am, I usually do not feel like asking him for things as I see how much he has blessed me already. I prefer to give the finances and the projects back to him and ask him what he would like me to do, more or less like his manager. Sometimes we have a dry period. If I have been too busy with little time to stop and there seems to be a dry period, then I confess to him I am just a very simple man that is bound by these four-dimensional walls or parameters that I cannot audibly hear his voice or physically see him from my limited perspective. I ask him to be merciful of my life because I know deep down in my heart that I can easily hurt people and mess up badly with my selfishness. His sweet response can be overwhelming. After speaking at the gathering, a lady asked me, what does the Lord speak to you about? I said, that depends on my question. Sorry, I mean to ask, how does he speak to you? My answer was, it's quite simple, really. If I have a question, I tell him that I have this question or uneasy feeling about something. I tell him that I submit my thoughts and my mind to him and ask him if he can give me his take on things. Then, whatever comes to mind, I write down and accept it as from him. He has to communicate with me through my mind, and I have to accept it. More than anything, I know that the Lord has to be part of my life. Not with acting spiritual or with superficial greetings of hallelujah, brother, and God is good, but simply acknowledging him, just like you would your best friend. I learned that if I communicate a short request, like, Lord, please keep me safe on the road, or give me your wisdom in what to say, that it makes me very thankful for his help. Much like when a child requests something from his parents. If his request is granted, he is thankful. However, because he lives in the same house as his parents, he can also do things without asking and harden himself against them. In order to justify himself, he will teach his siblings to do the same. Why ask? Grow up, man. We don't need to ask. Have some faith in yourself. This does not make for a loving relationship with his parents. Neither does it for us with the Lord. Some scriptures that became a reality to me. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. John 6:63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Job 14:15 says, you shall call and I will answer you. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. In conclusion, believe it or not, for me spending time with the Lord and studying his word is the keel that keeps my ship from capsizing. He is my anchor, and hearing from him is the sanity of my life. at the site johanpeters.in, you find many leaflets like this on many subjects, from creation, carbon dating to kingdom come, plus a good study Bible. There are 9 books. Other sites sell the books, but on this site, all are free. So you can pass them on. We have no cookies or no info requests.